chapter 3. I thought David was going to sing a special song this morning. I thought, well, I hadn't scheduled him to sing, and he's sitting on this front row here. What in the world's going on here, you know? And I didn't know if he had his juice harp in his pocket or harmonica or whatever, you know. I thought, well, and I didn't know if he had a 9mm or a Glock 45. I thought, wow, goodness, you know, to heaven I go. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's some things here, and I've got something that I want to, I've got two messages that I'm wrestling with. And I'm going to preach one this morning, one tonight. I just want to make sure I'm preaching the right one at the right time. And I pray the Lord to use this message this morning to encourage us as a church family as we embrace this brand new year. And I am just so, again, excited about what God has in store for us, because through many danger, toils, and snares, we have already come together and together. And we've survived last year, Brother Rick. We made it, and it came to pass, you know. And sometimes you think, my goodness, I'll never again have anything to smile about. I'll never have anything to rejoice about. I'll never have any gladness in my life anymore. And this is going to be the thing that's going to take me down. We're going to crash and burn. But guess what? Through God's grace and mercy, here we stand. It's only by His grace and mercy here we stand. And as the Sunday school lesson talked about, there's a battle raging, friend. And a spiritual warfare. And we just give it to the Lord and just keep plugging right along and keep doing what we believe God's put in our heart to do, and knowing that one day we'll meet God with it and answer to the Lord with it and Him only. And just be who God saved us to be and who God's called us to be. I'm glad I don't have to try to pretend to be like someone else. I can just be me. And because God saved me. God called me. And I'm glad we don't have to try to pretend to be like someone else, but we can just be ourselves and just trust the Lord. And me and James talking about how God uses ordinary people, just ordinary men, you know. We were talking about that yesterday. And different preachers, I was telling them about how God's used this one and how God's used that. I said, you know, people probably don't even know who this guy is. But yet God's used him in a profound way. How many of you know Schubel Stearns? Anybody know Schubel Stearns? James knows him now. Anybody know Schubel Stearns? He's been dead and gone for all pretty good while. I'd say a couple hundred years, maybe, or maybe 100-some years. At least probably 100 years. Schubel Stearns was the man God used to start the first Baptist church in North Carolina. Schubel Stearns went to an open-air meeting up in New England states when George Whitfield was preaching. And George Whitfield said, there is no hope for the Carolinas. That is a waste land. There's no use. God's not even there, George Whitfield said. That's where Schubel Stearns was from. And God so stirred his heart that day that he came back to Randolph County, just Ashboro, just north of Ashboro, a little community called Sandy Creek, and established the first Baptist church, Sandy Creek Baptist Church. I'd been there. It's a little old square building, wood frame building. And I know pews. I walked in there, me and a group of other preachers, and we sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, How Firm a Foundation. And our voices just echoing off that hollow room. I can imagine in my mind how those people of God that day sang the songs, the old songs of faith. Down the hill you go, the brand new church building. Then beside that's a fellowship building. Then beside that's the church cemetery, and that's where Schubel Stearns is laid to rest. But yet God used Schubel Stearns, a man that none of you knew until I told you who he was. Schubel Stearns. And God used him to establish the first Baptist church in North Carolina. And from that one, look how many Baptist churches. There are over 500 and some independent Baptist churches in North and South Carolina. But they all started by one man, Schubel Stearns. Roger Williams, you know Roger Williams, of course. Roger Williams, he started the first ever Baptist church in America. I stood there in that pulpit. I stood sat in those pews of that church up in the New England states a few years ago. Now think about all these things. And you know how God uses Daisy Halls. How many of you know Daisy Halls? Daisy Halls, God used. She was a little Sunday school teacher. She taught a group of 12-year-old boys, Sunday school class. Every time she'd get through with her lesson, she'd always give the plan of salvation at the end. And one day, God got a hold of a young man's heart, God saved him when he was 12 years old. God used Dr. Lee Robertson in a profound way. 96 years of age when he graduated to heaven. God used Dr. Robertson, the pastor of the Highland Park Baptist Church there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for 40 years and 6 months. And radio station after radio station, mission board after mission board, mission societies. The great Tennessee Temple University when it was in its heyday. Now it's all but shut down, gone out of business. If you think about the little backroom Sunday school class, you don't know who's sitting there. God will use you. God will use you as a vehicle, as a vessel, as a voice to speak His Word and let His Word get a hold of their heart and let God work a work. And it's just amazing. That's the excitement of this year ahead of us, is that I believe God's Word is settled in heaven. And I believe what God said, and God said His Word would not return what? Void. But would accomplish that which it is sent forth to do. And if we just keep proclaiming the book, keep giving the book out, keep living the book, keep taking the gospel message to our surrounding communities, keep inviting people, keep bringing people in, keep going out to where they are, and taking the power with us, the authority of God, listen, there's no telling what God will do. We've been through the water, and we're probably going to go through some more water, but yet God will go with us, you know. And no doubt about it. I want you to look in your Bible. Let me just share a thought with you this morning. And out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice with me, please. And in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But I want you to look at verse 14. With all that said, but continue. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want us to look at this portion of God's Word today. As I think about the words that God gives us here, as I think about the dark picture that Paul, and the inspiration of God, is painting on the canvas, as Paul takes his paintbrush and brushes with a stroke of his brush, he paints a picture beginning there in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He takes that word perilous and he identifies the word dangerous. There will be dangerous times. And then he begins under the inspiration of God to give us 21 characteristics of the last days. And I believe that we're not living in the last days, but I do believe we're living in the last days of the last days. And I believe that we can look at all these 21 characteristics and say, you know what, that's happening. I can see that now. I heard about this. And we can see all these things happening, you know, without natural affection, sodomy and all these different things, abortion. And we can hear about the despiser of those that are good. And we can hear about disobedient to parents. And we can hear about fierce incontinent and traitors and heady and high-minded, that drug use and alcohol abuse and all those different things. And lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, taking God's holy day and making a holiday out of it. We can look at all these things and say, my goodness, Paul, that's a dark, gloomy picture you're painting. And it is. And then he goes on and talks about those in verse 5 who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And they have an outward look, an outward expression, but they have no inward possession of Christ and the new life and the forgiveness of sin. And they put on a good show, you know. They put on a good performance, but they're hollow on the inside. There's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no joy. There's no victory, no satisfaction, no contentment in their life. And then he says, from such turn away, be careful of that crowd. Then he says in verse 6 that there are those who have crept into the house. Jude talks about these ungodly men have crept in unaware. And we find here that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, that story is not mentioned in the Old Testament. But yet God brings it out here in the New Testament. And God brings it out as these illustration here. What do they do? The Bible says in verse 8, so do these also resist the truth. No doubt when Moses was there leading the children of Israel, there was a Jannes and Jambres, these two individuals that said, listen, we don't want the truth. And so therefore they withstood Moses. But yet God says here that they were men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly, there in verse 10, shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. God has a way of pulling the rug off things. God has a way of stripping the bark off our limbs of our life and revealing what's really on the inside. Isn't that amazing? And so here Paul is painting this portrait here. He's painting this picture here. And we look at it. Then Paul goes to another side of the canvas in verse 10. He says, but thou hast fully known. You've fully known. You've been around me now. You've heard me preach. You've heard me teach. You've been around me. And you've known. Look at there. Paul gives a list of 9 things here. You have fully known. Number 1, my doctrine. Notice how God puts the important things first. You've known my doctrines. The word doctrines means teachings. It's the glue that holds us together. The doctrine. He said, you've known my manner of life. How I live. You know my purpose and what my purpose is. It's not my own, but it's God. And the purpose of my heart, Paul would say, is that for my people to be saved. And then he goes on and says, you've known my faith. You've seen my long suffering. You've seen my love, my charity, my patience. You've seen and witnessed my persecutions. You've known my afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, there in the book of Acts. You read the stories there. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me, Paul testifies. And he paints a pretty scene there on that side of the canvas. Then he comes and says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And then he goes back to the dark side. Worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And we would look at that and we'd say, you know, what are we to do? What are we to do? I mean, here's 21 characteristics of the last days. It's gloomy and dark, and it's devastating, destructive. And here you got Jannes and Jambres, the spirit of these people here that's in the spirit of the people in our day, and they withstand the truth. They don't want the truth. They stop their ears to the truth. I'm amazing how people don't want the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And here we come on down the line and talks about the persecution, the seducers and evil men. They're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what are we as God's people to do in 2013? Well, I'm glad God didn't stop there, aren't you? Look at verse 14. Look at the word but. The word but is B-U-T is like a hinge, like the hinges on this door here. The door of truth swings on the hinges of these conjunction words, but continue thou. Here Paul gets down personal with him. Maybe Paul comes off the platform where he's speaking at and he gets down with him and he looks at Jim and he says, but continue thou. Jim, when you look at that canvas, it's dark, perilous times.
evil men, seducers, worse of words. There are those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There are those that resist the truth, like Jannes and Jambres, Jim. And Jim would say, well, Pastor, what am I to do? What are me and Pat going to do now? We embrace this new year. I look at Jim and Pat as a family, and I say, but continue thou. But continue thou. Continue what, Pastor? Look on it. Look what God gives. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul says, listen, I've been with you a long time. And I've taught you. And I've taught you with tears. I've taught you, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He said there in the book of Acts, chapter 20, he talks about how I've talked with you and I've taught you and with tears and trembling. And I held nothing back from you. He says, I literally not only gave you the truth, but I gave you my life. Paul is coming down. We know the very next chapter, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He's about to graduate. He's about to check out of this world. And he's looking at church. He's looking at God's people. He's looking at this young pastor, Timothy. And they're standing there wondering, what are we to do, Paul? It's so dark and dreary and dreadful. Paul says, but you continue. You continue. You keep going. You keep pressing on. You keep moving forward. Hudson Taylor said that God's always advancing. He's always moving forward. God never retreats. God never goes back. He's always advancing. And listen, God's always advancing. That's why this year, this new year, listen, God is going to be advancing this year. What you and I need to do is make sure that we're advancing with Him. Walking in His way. But continuing. The Bible talks about there in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We would say today, as Bible students, we would say we believe that in the imminent return of Christ, that it can happen any moment now. We can look around and we can say these 24 characteristics are prevalent in our day and in our society. We can look around and say the stage is set for the Antichrist to be revealed after the church is raptured out of here. We can look at all these things and say the very next thing on God's time calendar is the rapture of the church, the catching of away, as 1 Thessalonians 5 teaches or 4 teaches us that. We believe that and we know that to be true. But here before that day happens, God says so much the more. So much the more. As you see the day approach and you see, I don't need less church, I need more. I don't need less preaching, I need more preaching. I don't need less teaching, I need more teaching. We need more of this. We need more of this. More of what we've had, more of what we've got, and so much the more. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So what are we to do in this day and hour as we brace this new year on this anniversary Sunday, as we look ahead to what God has for us? Three things quickly, and I want you to write these down. Now, by the way, they said we have a meal, and so we'll go eat after this, all right? Write this down here. What should we do? What should we try to do? Well, number one, I want you to see the foe of those who continue. There is a foe for all those who strive to continue. You and I, listen, I want you to understand this. You and I have to purpose in our heart that we're going to, by God's help and God's grace, we're going to continue. We're not going to quit. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to dismiss ourselves from the game. And we're not going to get out of the way of God. But we're going to continue down the things which thou hast learned. And we've got a purpose in our heart. You realize, it dawned on me the other day, and I probably thought about this before, but maybe the Spirit of God brought it back to my mind. It dawned on me, and I told my wife, I think I told James and Charity this. You know, it's amazing that God leaves it up to man to choose where he spends eternity. God's left it up to me, brother. God has made everything possible. God, the Father, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary for the sin of the world. My sin, your sin. Jesus paid our sin debt. And the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we've missed the mark of God, and we've sinned against God. We're guilty before God.
But yet God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on a cross according to the Scripture and be buried and rose again according to the Scripture. And listen, but yet God says, I'm leaving the choice up to you. It's your decision to make. You decide where you're going to spend eternity. God sends no man to hell. God sends no man to heaven. It's that man or that woman, that young person's decision they make right now in this life. That's amazing to me. The God of creation, the God of heaven, the God of all omnipotence says, Terry, I'm going to let you choose. It's your choice. I get to choose where I spend eternity? God said, yeah. And listen, friend, we must make sure that we make the right choice. Understand this here. There is a foe of those who continue. Paul was trying to encourage the people of God here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast been assured of. And he gives, again, a list of things there in verses 4, 1 through 4, that he says that those are the folks that we're going to have to fight against, the spirit, the mentality, the attitude. It seems, as if we read verses 2, 3, and 4, that all reverence is gone. But in verse 5 is the most severe, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Now say this morning, that there is no painless way to serve the Lord. Listen, this is not a picnic. This is not a walk through the park. Friend, we have a real enemy that we're facing. We have a real enemy that we're fighting against. And he has a name, and his name is Satan. His name is the devil. He's the he's Lucifer. He's the morning star. Listen, I want you to know he's the dragon, as the Bible calls him there in Revelation. He's the arch enemy of God's and God's people. He's the accuser of the brethren. Listen, friend, we have an enemy. And there's a fight. We fight not only the devil, but we fight the flesh and we fight the world. It's a triangle. They said the strongest angle, the strongest shape is the triangle. You fight the devil and the world and the flesh. There's a triangle that on every front, no matter where I turn, I've got a battle. I've got a battle. I'm fighting the battle. I'm fighting the devil, fighting the flesh, I'm fighting the world. There's a constant warfare going on. Listen, there are times that the devil and the flesh and the world may get the upper hand on you and I. We may be backed into a corner, not knowing what to do. But listen, but Paul says, but continue thou. There's going to be a foe. There's going to be some enemies of those who decide to continue in the things which you have learned and you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen, there's foes that we face. There's an enemy of the past. Past failures. May I say this morning that failure is not a person. Failure is an event that's happened in your life. You're not a failure. You say, well, I've failed, Pastor. I have too. But the failure is not the person. The failure is the event that happened in our life. I'm glad for that, because then failure is not final with the Father. And I'm glad that I'm not a failure saved by grace, although I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I'm glad, thank God, that I'm a saint saved by grace. I'm a son, a child of God. But yet there are enemies, the enemies of the past. And then there's the enemies of the present, present follies that go on in our day, go on in our life. We battle them on a daily basis. Then there's present foes of pressure from the flesh, pressure from the world, pressure from the devil. Listen, pressure to give in, give up and give over and quit. We can't quit, Heritage. Listen, you men, you can't quit. Don't quit on your family. You wives, don't quit on your family. You young people, don't quit on mom and dad. Listen, family, don't quit on God. What in the world has God ever done to us that would make us to want to quit and throw in the towel and walk away from God? God's only done me good. He's only done right by me. I'll tell you, listen, but there's an enemy that we're going to face this year, just like we faced him last year. But we've got to continue. We've got to continue. Listen, there are times, just like David, the Bible says he was wearied in the battle. Then God sent by Abishai. And Abishai stepped in, and Abishai slew Ishbibenob, the champion of the knob, the champion of the mountain. And listen, he helped the man of God. There are times that we're going to be weary. There are times we're going to be faint-hearted. There are times of weariness and withering and weakness. But listen, we've got to continue on.
what Paul is telling this church here. It's what Paul, God's telling you and I today. But continue thou. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. He won't quit on you. Listen, there's a foe of those who continue. Then number two, there's a force of those who continue. There's a force. What is this force? Look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the what? Truth. Truth. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? Truth. And shall be turned into fable. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. Listen, if I go to a doctor and I've got something going on, he better tell me the truth. He better tell me what's going on so we can do something to avert this, to help this cause. Don't keep anything from me, doc. Tell me what I've got. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you hear. Tell me what's going on in my body. I want to know the truth. People come to church, they say, preacher, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear the truth. And so we'll find somewhere that's not telling the truth or preaching the truth. Somewhere that's fuzzy and glittery and soft and mushy and all these different things. And, woo, we fit right in. I want you to know, listen, we're living in a day where God says that people don't want the truth. But you know what? Listen, that's the force. That's the power. That's the energy of those who continue. You know what's going to get us through this year? The truth. The truth's going to get us through this year. You know, it's like the old hymn writer says, the truth marching on. You know, glory, glory, hallelujah. Battle hymn of the Republic. His truth is marching on. I tell you, that's the force of those who continue, is the truth. May I say this morning? You and I cannot stop the truth. It's about like trying to stop a hole in the dam with a piece of bubble gum. You can't stop a freight train, friend. You and I cannot stop the truth. And listen, there are times that we understand the truth. Listen, first of all, we think about the power of the truth. You know what? Listen, there are going to be times this year, go ahead and mark her down, get ready for them. There are going to be times this year that you're going to feel like you're sinking beyond recovery. And you'll come dragging in the church. Drag in, walk in, what are you going to do? Just get here. And you're going to hear the truth from this pulpit. There have been many times I've come dragging in. And I've sat where you sat. I've been where you've been. Sitting there thinking about my bills that's due. Think about my sickness and my health and all these different things and my future. What am I going to do? Think about my job situation. I've carried these burdens. I've lived these things. The man of God mount that pulpit and open the Word of God. And in that moment, it's just like God standing on the shore. Throw me a line, a line of truth. And all of a sudden, I'm led. I get a hold of that truth. And that truth pulls me to the heart of God. And God whispers in my ear through His Word and says, it's all right. I know where you are. I know what's going on. And you could trust, you could hold to my Word. Hallelujah. It's been His Word that's been my buoy. His Word has buoyed me up from drowning in the pool of burdens and heartache and heartbreak. Listen, it's been God's Word from the pulpit. God's cast a life preserver out there and said, hey, get a hold of the truth. And it's been the truth that's got me through some things. It's going to be the truth that's going to get you through this year. What do we do? What do we do? Listen, it's the force of those that continue that get them. And the force is the truth. You see the power of the truth that God gives us here. God throws a rope of His Word. It's the penetration of God's truth. The penetration that God gives. Let me read a verse to you. You don't have to turn there. I'm already there. You can write the reference down. It's Acts 23 and verse 11. Listen to this verse here. Acts 23, 11. And the night followed, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast been hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You know what Paul was facing? Paul was facing the next day he's going to be executed. He's going to be beheaded. Paul's in this prison. No way out. Guards all over. His sentence has already been handed down. Judgment is about to be passed on this great preacher, this great missionary, church planner. Paul's sitting there, but yet God came to him, and through the Word of God, God said, Paul, don't worry about what man has threatened to do to you. I'm not through with you yet. As you have testified of me in Jerusalem,
I've got more work for you to do. And they're not going to do one thing to you, Paul, until I'm through with you. He says, if you testify to me in Jerusalem, you're going to do the same thing at Rome. So you just hold. Listen, don't write your last will and testament right now. Just put your will up. Put it on up. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Go ahead. Just get your good night's rest, Paul. I'm not done with you yet. And you know what God's Word did for Paul that night? God's Word buoyed him up. He felt the power of God's Word. He felt the force of God's Word, and it was the truth. And God, if you'll study the life of Paul, you read through it, God did use Paul in Rome. God took him straight from Jerusalem to Rome. And God used him in a mighty way, and no doubt God could do the same thing for us. But we find the truth. Jeremiah said, it's like the truth that's in my bones as a burning fire. Jeremiah said, I'm through preaching. I'm through. I'm done. I'm going to lay it down. But he said, oh my, the longer I stood there, the more like God's Word was a burning fire in my bones. You know what? There are going to be times you and I are going to be tempted to quit this year. But it's going to be God's Word, the force of those that continue. It's going to be God's Word that propels us, drives us, and moves us to keep moving forward. You know how this church is going to move forward? This book is going to move us forward. Our greatest enemy today, you listen to this statement, our greatest enemy today is ourselves. Trying to do it apart from God's Word. Oh, listen, we'll get a crowd. We'll get a good group together. But there'll be nothing there, nothing for them, no substance. But I want you to know, listen, here God says that there's a foe that we're going to face for those that continue. Here's the force for those that continue. Let me give the last thing quickly. Notice the fruit of those who continue. You realize, listen, you plant that apple tree, that orange tree, and it takes a while for it to start bearing fruit. But once it starts bearing fruit, friend, look out. You have fruit every season. You take care of it. Go with me right quick to Acts 14. Here Paul can look at those Christians there. He can look at Timothy there and he says, listen, it looks dark, dreary, gloomy, destitute. But I want to encourage you, church, Paul says, you can continue. You can finish the race. You can stay in the fight. You can keep the faith. He says, but you can continue. Look at verse Acts 14. Notice verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persecuted the people, and having stoned Paul. Remember, Paul makes reference to this there in 2 Timothy in our text. His persecution came from Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. They stoned Paul. And verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the soul of the disciples, exhorting them to continue the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And here Paul is encouraging them, don't give up. Don't give in. You stay faithful. You continue in the things which thou hast learned. And here Paul, the Bible mentions there that there were many disciples. He was confirming the souls of the disciples here in this text. Look with me now to chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe, Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple there named Timotheus. You know who Timotheus is, don't you? That's Timothy here, 1st, 2nd Timothy. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. How would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And here you have a young man by the name of Timothy. Look at verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized and her household. In Acts chapter 16, the latter part, the Philippian jailer there, and trust in Christ as his Savior. Well, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you'll look at all these lives here, here Paul has got some fruit to show for all of his work. He's got some fruit for his labors.
And he's showing us here, he says, listen, there's many disciples in chapter 14. And there's Timothy and Lydia in chapter 16. There's the Philippian jailer in chapter 16. Not just the jailer, but his whole house believing in him, in the Lord there, verse 34. The fruit of all these things. May I say this morning, that just around the corner, there will be someone that we can help. There will be someone that needs the Lord. And we may face interruptions, no doubt, like Paul faced there in Acts 14. But I would encourage you to stay with him. There's going to be times of drought and toiling. There's going to be times of empty nets, casting your net and coming up empty. But listen, friends, stay with it. He said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. But continue thou. Paul could say back in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. How, Paul? How did you finish? I kept continuing. I just kept going. I just stayed faithful. I just stayed with it. Stayed with it. I encourage you to stay with it. God's always looking for those He can bless and use. Around every corner this year of life, there will be an opportunity for us to quit. Listen, if you've got a pulse, God has a purpose for you. God has something for you to do. When Satan brings temptation to quit, listen, I would encourage you, someone is cheering you on. Someone is standing in the shadow cheering you on, encouraging you to give one more testimony, one more track, preach one more sermon, teach one more lesson, sing one more song. But continue thou. Just keep going. Keep going. Oh, we're going to face some deep waters. We're going to face some lion's dens, some fiery furnaces this year. We're going to face some Red Seas. We're going to face some things we're not knowing at first what to do. Those times we give them to God. Listen, don't fold up your nets. Don't sell your ship. Listen, there is a season. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. But continue thou in the things which thou hast been assured of. More the same. More the same. Listen, we've been through these things here. We've talked about the Baptist distinctives, the biblical authority. We've talked about the autonomy of the local church. We've talked about the priesthood of the believer. We've talked about the two church offices, the pastor and deacon. We've talked about individual soul liberty. We've talked about saved and baptized church membership. We've talked about the two ordinances of the local church, believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. We've talked about the separation of church and state and the security of the believer, the Baptist distinctions. We've been through the first century church on how to become a first century church. We've been through Habakkuk, Lord, send revival. We've been through the life of Joseph. We've been through all these things. And listen, but yet God has been faithful and God's brought us through, and now last year's gone. And here we stand, ready to embrace a brand new year, a brand new day, a brand new dawn, a brand new opportunity. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come without conflict or battle. It's not going to come without loss. But it's also not going to come. It's going to come with gain. And I want you to know God is still on the throne and God still has it all in control, and we're just trusting the Lord. And I want you to trust the Lord with me. And let's believe God. And let's go together. And let's just do more of the same. Let's just continue thou. Just do more of the same. Just keep preaching Jesus. Keep loving the Lord. Keep loving people and loving one another. Keep embracing folks, new folks when they come in. God sends visitors in. Listen, extend a kind welcome, a kind hand. Embrace people when they come. And just do our part and stand in the gap and having it all to stand. Let's just continue thou. I want to encourage you to continue thou in this new year. Continue the things which thou hast learned. I give you a list of things just a while ago, just a few moments ago, what we've been through, what we've learned through the studies of God's Word. I want you to encourage you to earnestly contend for the faith. Continue in the faith. Contend for the faith. Listen, again, there's no telling what God can do with the people who put themselves at His disposal. Just say, Lord, nobody knows my name, and I'm not much to probably any. But Lord, I know you and you know me. And Lord, I just want you to use my life with the life I've got left. With what vapor I have left, Lord, use me and help me to finish. Help me to continue in the things that I know to be true. Help me to walk in truth. Walk by faith, not by feeling and not by sight. But walk by faith. Let's continue. Let's pray together, shall we?